God's word for us today is found in Psalm 46. Psalm 46, I encourage you to turn there so that you can follow along as we read. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And may God speak to us from his word.
We're in Psalm 46 this morning for two reasons. One, I really had a hard time getting back into Acts this week. I wanted so badly to keep moving forward, and yet I could not get my mind and my heart out of the Psalms, which happens from time to time, actually quite often. The second reason is because I know in recent months, and perhaps even the past year, for many of you, I can hardly think of anyone in the church who has not or is experiencing some kind of trial. And just really sensed that we needed Psalm 46. I love Psalm 46. I go here more often than I know. I sometimes just live there. And I hope that it will minister to you. I'll probably be, in a sense, preaching into a mirror this morning to myself, and you can listen. But it's a great psalm. Let's ask God to speak to us through it today. Father, we know how much we need you. Perhaps sometimes we don't really know how much we need you. But you remind us. We need the anchor of our soul to be Jesus. We need to remember that though everything around us may change, you remain the same. You are God. You are strong, you are true, you are sure. And so we come to you this morning asking that the Spirit of God would use this book that He has written to speak to our hearts. Use this psalm, Lord, that has ministered to your people for many, many generations. May you use it to minister to us today. May your Spirit power me to preach your word in a way that will bring you glory and cause us to trust you more. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Where do you run when the storms of life beat upon you with unrelenting persistence? Where do you hide when the troubles of life chase you like a hound after a fox? Where do you find peace and rest when fear seems to overtake you and anxiety seems to place its grip around your neck? Where do you go when personal conflict eats at your soul? The answer to all four of these questions is the same. At least it should be the same. and that is in God. We run to God, we hide in God, we find peace and rest in God when our souls are being torn apart inside. He alone is the one who can minister to us and nurture us and teach us to trust in Him. I love Psalm 46. I live here many times. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What an amazing statement. God is our refuge. The word means a place of shelter, a place of safety. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, "The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms." God is our hiding place. That's what He's saying. He's our refuge. He is our place of safety. When the storms of life plunge down upon us, we run and hide in Him. And we ought not to ever be ashamed of doing so. He is there to be our dwelling place. And as Moses said in Deuteronomy, underneath are the everlasting arms. Now this is a figure of speech, of course, because God does not have arms. He is spirit. But this kind of language is used to help us to understand His support, His care, His protection. Another example or analogy that's used is that of wings. In Matthew 23:37, Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling." Jesus says, how often I wanted you to experience my care and my protection, that I was your hiding place, but you were unwilling to come to me and hide under my protection. That same image is used in Psalm 91, another of my favorites, where it is written, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark." So God, we know, does not have arms. He does not have wings like a bird. But these are figures of speech that are given to us to remind us of how much He loves us and cares for us and holds us up in times of trial and covers us with His wings to protect us from the storms of life. And many storms there are. We can't choose our storms, can we? How many of you going through a trial right now predicted this 5 years ago? You didn't. Storms are unpredictable. Oh, we now have the intelligence as man to be able to keep an eye on the atmosphere, and satellites in space track the weather, and we can have warnings ahead of time of the storms to come. But we don't have that for spiritual storms, do we? God doesn't warn us ahead of time. If He did, then He would be training us to walk by sight instead of to walk by faith. So we need to trust Him that He is in control, and when these storms come, to not be afraid and not to be ashamed, to run and hide in Him. Our God is our refuge. But the psalmist also says He is strength. He is our strength. That is, His power is put into action on our behalf. That's what the psalmist is saying. So 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually." His strength is there for us. It is put into action for us. His strength comes to us in our times of weakness. In fact, according to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the strength of God is made perfect. That is, it is made complete in our experience in times of weakness. Isn't that the truth? When you are strong, when you feel as though you are strong, are you really relying upon God? No. You know you're not, and I know I'm not. It is when the rug is pulled out from underneath us and we recognize just how weak we are, then the strength of God is made perfect. Now, it already is perfect. What Paul is saying is it's made complete in our experience. We experience the fullness of His strength when we are weak. Let me ask you, are you afraid of weakness? Many of us are. Many of us try to control our lives so minutely so as to protect ourselves from pain, weakness. Because we think that having weaknesses means that we are weak. And it does. But why is that a bad thing? Why is that a bad thing to come to reality, to understand what we really are? We are weak, no matter how strong we pretend to be. And so we need God's strength. We need to understand that He is our refuge. He is a very present help in trouble. He's omniscient. He is always present. And His omniscience works itself out on our behalf as a help in trouble. Psalm 145:18, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." God is not near to all. He is near to those who call upon Him. He is near to those who know they need to be near to Him. He is near to those who recognize that He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Well, that's the theme of this psalm. God is our refuge. Or we might call it a refuge in the time of storm. I want you to notice two results of making God our refuge. That's what the psalmist reveals for us. Two results of making God our refuge. The first is found in verses 2 through 7, and it is this: "When God is your refuge, you have no cause to fear." When God is your refuge, you have no cause to fear. Look at verse 2, "Therefore," which takes us back to verse 1. In other words, because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, we will not fear. "Though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea." See, when you fear God, you have no cause to fear man or the circumstances of life, your present circumstances, your future, the worries that you have about tomorrow. There's no cause to fear when God is your refuge. Proverbs 14:26 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children will have refuge." In the fear of the Lord, that is, when we fear Him above anything else. When we love Him, when we revere Him above anything else. But we are weak. And one of our weaknesses is we often give in to the fear of man. That is, we allow other people and what they think of us or what we want them to think of us to control us. It dictates many times our decisions because we want to be respectable in the eyes of other people. We don't want to disappoint people, so we do certain things. Driven more by pleasing man than we are pleasing God. And that's a trap. Solomon said in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, a trap. Some of you are in that trap today. Some of you live your lives in that trap, totally consumed with what people think of you, totally controlled by what you want them to think of you, instead of the fear of God. That proverb goes on to say, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. When God is your refuge, you have no cause to fear. No cause to fear men. No cause to care more about what they think than God thinks. There's also no fear of death for the person who has God as his refuge. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In other words, don't fear men. Don't fear those who persecute you. Don't fear the enemies of God. Don't even fear Satan, but fear God, who has ultimate control over both soul and body. Many times we often fear suffering. We like a comfortable life. We don't like to be tested. We don't like pain. And so we fear suffering. And yet Peter said in 1 Peter 3, even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. That is, you are in a privileged position before God. That's what that word means. Do not fear their intimidation. He's talking about those who persecute believers. Do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Exalt Christ as the Lord of all in your hearts. And always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Always be ready to say, it is Christ whom I live for. It is Christ whom I am willing to die for. And yet do this with gentleness, with reverence. Don't be an obnoxious Christian. Be a gentle, reverent Christian. If someone puts a gun to your head and says, deny Christ or else, don't curse them. Simply express your faith in Christ. Do not fear the one who can kill the body but are unable to kill the soul. Now, all of that really is in the mind of the psalmist as he writes these words, because as we move on through the psalm, you'll see many references to military illustrations, wars. And so some of this is most definitely in his mind. Do not fear. We will not fear if God is our refuge. See, fear is basically misplaced trust. That's what fear is. Instead of trusting God, we trust something else. What other people think of us, or our ability to control our own destiny, to control our circumstances, to control our future. And we fear because we fear the loss of control. Faith is a loss of control. Faith is a willing loss of control, a willing surrender of our control to God, who has ultimate control. So when God is our refuge, we have no cause to fear. Now the psalmist reveals two occasions that often produce fear, verses 2 through 3, when circumstances are beyond our control. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. All of those things that he mentions are things that are totally beyond our control. We have no control over earthquakes. We have no control over things that cause mountains to slip into the sea. God is the one who controls that. So when circumstances are beyond your control, the psalmist says, trust God. Fear God. Understand that nothing can separate you from His love if you are in Christ. To fear God is to escape all other fears. The fear of the Lord is an anchor for our soul. When you struggle with that, drive down to the lake on a windy day and look at the waves and how they tear everything apart. And yet, you look at the ships or the yachts that are parked, docked, I suppose is the proper word, behind the breakwater. They're fine. Why? Because that breakwater was designed to hold back the waves. So it is with God. Storms of life come, but God is our refuge and strength, and He is the breakwater, and He holds back the waves and only lets them do to us what He has ordained them to do. For our good and for His glory. And so we can be at peace, even though the wind is blowing around us, the storms are tearing things apart. We can be at peace in our souls, in our hearts, because God is our refuge when circumstances are beyond our control. But there's a second example here. When opposition arises before you, verses 4 through 7. When opposition arises before you. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Notice what he's doing. He's talking about the city of God and how peaceful it is in the city of God, where God is dwelling, where God is our refuge and strength. There is peace. There is calm. Nothing shall move us. The nations all around the city of God can make an uproar, verse 6. The kingdoms of the world can totter, but God simply raises His voice and the earth melts. Talk about power. We think we're so strong. The nations of this world think that they are so mighty. We who have nuclear power, we think we are so powerful. And yet all God has to do is open His mouth and the earth melts. That's what will help. What will happen someday, according to 2 Peter, when God brings His final judgment upon this earth and the earth melts. But look at the comfort in verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. When opposition arises before you, God is your refuge. When everything threatens you, when the people that you love turn against you, when your co-workers ignore you because of your faith in Christ, God is your refuge. Listen to the confidence of the hymn writer who wrote, though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. Why did he say that? He said that because of the confidence that he had in God who leads His dear children along. See, if you're a child of God, there's nothing to fear. Because He has everything in your life under control. He has a plan for you. He will lead you along every path, every day, no matter what it may hold. God will be your refuge. He will be your strength. He will be your safety. So when God is your refuge, you have no cause to fear. That's the first lesson we learn from this psalm. When God is your refuge, you have no cause to fear. Now look at the second lesson in verses 8 through 11. When God is your refuge, you have no cause to fret. Oh, and many of us are so good at this, aren't we? And yet when God is our refuge, we have no cause to fret. Look at verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. In other words, stop fretting over things that you cannot control. Stop worrying. I'm God. You are not. Stop acting as if you can control tomorrow, because you can't. Cease striving and know that I am God. Psalm 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his day, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Do not fret. Do not worry about the future. Do not worry because it appears that the wicked prosper while the righteous suffer. Don't worry about that. God has all things under His control. Rest in Him. Now the psalmist gives us three reasons not to fret in verses 8 through 11. Three reasons not to fret. First, because God's works are powerful. Because God's works are powerful. Verses 8 and 9. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. God is powerful. And remember His mighty works. When you are tempted to worry, when you are tempted to fret, then remember the great works that God has done. Not only in the earth, but in your own life. Take a moment to reflect on the past and the ways that God has providentially worked in your life, how He has met your needs, how He has acted in powerful ways. That's what Jesus did in Matthew 6, that great chapter teaching us not to worry. He said, look at what God has done. Look at the birds. They don't worry about tomorrow. They just keep flying around from bird feeder to bird feeder. They just do what birds do, and God takes care of them. He meets their needs. Look at the flowers. In a few weeks, we'll be able to do that. Hopefully. Look at the flowers. Look how gorgeous they are. How they are adorned with such beauty. The great work of the designer. These are great works of God. Think of those things when you are tempted to worry. And Jesus says, if God cares that much about birds and flowers, how much do you think He cares about the people that Jesus died for? A lot more. So do not fret, because His works are powerful. Many of us are professional worriers. We could easily get a gold medal. And yet worry is just useless. Years ago, I found this quote that I really like. Worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Isn't that the case? That's what we do. We worry, and it gives us something to do. But does it help us? No. It gives us no help whatsoever. It actually hinders us, because it keeps us from trusting in the Lord. So do not fret, because His works are powerful. The second reason the psalmist gives us not to fret is because His will is unshakable. Look at verse 10. His will is unshakable. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. When God says, I will, mark it down. It happens. Many times we say, I will, and it seldom happens. But when God says, I will, it happens, because His will is unshakable. So don't fret about what God is doing in your life. Don't fret over the circumstances around you. Understand that He has a good and perfect will for your life, and He is working in and through all of those difficulties to bring about His will, if you will submit to Him and trust Him in those circumstances. Many times we miss out on the minor details of the will of God and the beauty of the will of God and the joys and the blessings that He desires us to experience because we will not trust Him. We have to be in control. We have to be the ones to determine our destiny. How sad. God's will is unshakable and it is good for us. He works all things together for our good and His glory. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Third reason not to fret is given to us in verse 11. And that is because His presence is real. Because God's presence is real. So the psalmist says, don't fret. God is your refuge. You have no cause to fret because His works are powerful, His will is unshakable, and His presence is real. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. He's not far away. He's not busy taking care of another universe. He is near. He is close. His presence is real. That phrase in verse 11 has already been given to us in verse 7. And in a sense given to us in verse 1. But in different words. The same truth repeated three times in this psalm. God's presence is real. It is a very present help in trouble. He is not far away. He is near. Are you trusting in this God who is near to you? Jesus said He will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Never will He leave you. Never will He forsake you. No matter how bad your trial may get, He will always remain with you. That is His promise. There is a poem that I have grown to love over the years based on Isaiah 43 and verse 2. Which says, when thou passest through the waters, they shall never overflow. Listen to this poem. Is there any heart discouraged as it journeys on its way? Does there seem to be more darkness than there is of sunny day? Oh, it's hard to learn the lesson as we pass beneath the rod, that the sunshine and the shadow serve alike the will of God. But there comes a world of promise, like the promise in the bow, that however deep the waters, they shall never overflow. When the flesh is worn and weary, and the spirit is depressed, and temptations sweep upon it like a storm on ocean's breast, there's a haven ever open for the tempest-driven bird. There's a shelter for the tempted in the promise of the Word. For the standard of the Spirit shall be raised against the foe, and however deep the waters, they shall never overflow. When a sorrow comes upon you that no other soul can share, and the burden seems too heavy for the human heart to bear, there is one whose grace can comfort if you'll give Him an abode. There's a burden bearer ready if you'll trust Him with your load. For the precious promise reaches to the depth of human woe, that however deep the waters, they shall never overflow. When the sands of life are ebbing, and I know that death is near, when I'm passing through the valley, and the way seems dark and drear, I will reach my hand to Jesus. In His bosom I shall hide, and 'twill only be a moment till I reach the other side. It is then the fullest meaning of the promise I shall know. When thou passest through the waters, they shall never overflow. Father, we thank You for this promise. Because the waters of life are sometimes very deep, deeper than we expected. And yet, when the storms of life come upon us, Your Word gives us so many promises that when You cause us to pass through those deep waters, they will never overflow. They will never go beyond the barrier that You have set up for them. You are the one who says, "You may come this far and no farther." You hold us in the palm of Your hand. In Christ, we are Your children, and You have made a commitment to us, and You will care for us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, what a great promise. Let me just pause briefly to speak to those of you here today who may not know Jesus Christ. Let me say to you that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then these promises cannot be clung to in the same way that believers can cling to them. But you may know this God who is a refuge and strength, if you will come to Him through faith in Jesus, if you'll understand that you're a sinner who has wandered far from God and you need to come back to Him, and God has provided the way through Christ. He's died for your sins. He has endured the punishment that your sin deserved. And now God is welcoming you back home. Come to Him. Jesus said, "Come unto Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Learn of Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul." So I don't know your heart. It's between you and God. But if you don't know this God, would you come to Jesus today? Would you trust Him? Oh God, thank You for these wonderful promises. May You minister to all of our hearts. May we run and hide in You, the refuge, the shelter in the time of storm. We love You, Lord, because You first loved us. May You fill our hearts with the kind of faith and simple childlike trust that the psalmist spoke of, that we might walk with You and live in You with peace and joy and rest. And may the world look upon us and be baffled by the inner peace that we have because we know You. May we be a bright light in the midst of our storms. For the glory and honor of Jesus Christ, who has made it all possible. In His name we pray. Amen.